could sing you. Or a story I could tell before I leave. If I only had one message I could bring you. There's no question it would be
about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cross, there's something beautiful about the cross.
I could sing about the state of grace I live in, or the peace and joy I have when times are tough. I could sing of all the blessings I've been given, but in the end, my life is just
about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cross, there's something beautiful about the cross. 2,000 years ago, if I had watched him die, I think I would have lost the hope, demanded to know why. But now I know the cross is everything, and it's the greatest honor to sing about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cross, there's something beautiful about the cross. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. There's something beautiful about the cross.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful, and what a way to head back to California hearing that. That was just gorgeous. Now, are all four of you girls married, or are y'all still single? Okay, because our kids in California sent me. They said, scout them out, Pastor. We may be part of the pilots' convention next year. Could a delegation from California come if we wanted to? All right, good. And we've got our praise band would like to compete here. Next year, our bass guitarist and electric guitarist and trap set drummer has really been practicing. And, you know, they'd like to come home with some ribbons or something. Well, they've already got ribbons, but they're in their dreadlocks. And so, oh, brother. If you have your Bibles, would you open them, please, to the book of Genesis? If you're not a graduate of Providence Baptist College, it's in the front of the Bible, and Genesis chapter 27, if you will. Genesis 27. When Brother Graham got up and I found out he was the arts and crafts director, it brought back a fond memory. When I was in college, Bible college in Texas for a while, they had some type of a modern art display come to the college, or it was nearby. And I remember going into the room where they had all these pieces of art. It looked like someone took a blanket and threw it on the wall, and you know that was art. And it looked like some child threw mud on the wall, and they framed it, and it was art. You know, this modern art, just real strange. They had these little 3x5 cards with a name of what the artwork was and the price. You know, it looked like this piece of junk, and it was $500. And so I started looking at all the art around the room, so-called modern art. And I came to the thermostat on the wall. I said, well, man, I'm going to just take a 3x5 card. I wrote thermostat, $400. And I just put that card up there. And it was so funny, Pastor. You'd see these people, look at, modern art. And then they came, and they're reading thermostat. Anyway, I just thought it was funny. And when I was in Bible college, it was very cold, of course, during the winters. I was up here in Hammond. And so when people walked with the Lord, when they had their walk with the Lord, you didn't see many people out with their Bibles walking in sub-zero weather. So you would see people going up into the library and, you know, they'd have their Bible open and just be reading. So I guess they didn't have a walk with the Lord. They had a sit with the Lord. And so they were sitting down. And, of course, they'd have it warm. And soon people were starting to drift off to sleep. And one fellow's head was on his Bible, just snoring away. And I probably shouldn't have done it, but I took a piece of paper and I put it next to his Bible and I wrote on it, "Does my book bore you? Signed, God." Someone said he woke up, read it, got discouraged, committed suicide. I don't know if he did or not. But we were fasting one time for a big day in our dorm room. I don't know if Pastor Angel remembers this. But we had a roommate in our dorm. His name was Tracy Ross. Tracy got saved out of a life of drugs. They called him Spook. He had long black hair and very, very pale complexion. Kind of looked like a ghost. So they called him Spook when he got saved. And they used to smoke all kind of dope. They took horse tranquilizers to get high. And so we were fasting. We were going to fast for 3 days. It was some big day coming up. I remember late one night I heard something in the closet. I don't know if it was a demon coming out or what it was. So I flipped on the light and opened the closet. There's Tracy Ross sitting on the floor, and he's got his arm wrapped around a gallon of peanut butter, and he's got a spoon in it. And so there's a lot of exciting things in Bible college and fasting. I guess fasting is when you just don't eat where people see you. I think that's what it is. You can eat in a closet. You know, God says, enter thy closet and spend time with God. I guess you fast in the closet, too. Well, here we are. We're in Genesis chapter number 27. I've enjoyed my time with you. And again, look forward to many wonderful years ahead seeing you in the ministry. And maybe you'll end up calling one day. I'm on deputation to maybe one of those imaginary countries, Madagascar. Maybe Ice Age, or maybe Prince of Egypt, or some other place like that. You can call, and we'll have you perhaps come speak. Genesis chapter 27. This is an old story. Isaac is getting older. He of course has two sons, Jacob and Esau. Isaac is getting old. He cannot see well. And, of course, looking down in verse 4, if you would, please. He says, "And make me savory meat such as I love. Bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." Very interesting story here. Isaac is dying, and he asks for one last wish. If a woman is dying, she's going to say, "Bring all the children. I want to see him one last time. Bring the children. I want to see him." Not a man. Isaac says, "I'm dying. Bring me something to eat." That's just part of it, ladies. You need to learn to cook. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. That's Bible. I think it's in Exodus somewhere like that. But it is important. Can she bake a cherry pie? Billy boy, Billy boy. Can she bake a cherry pie? Charming Billy. No, she's doing her nails and hair. He will starve. And we won't finish that, but it's a good rap song. You can put it to a tune. But let's notice the passage. Let's stand in honor of God's word for just a moment, please. And we'll just highlight it, if you will. He says, "That I may bless thee before I die." Verse 7, "Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death." Verse 19, "And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. You know the story. His mother is disloyal to her husband. She says, let's lie to your dad. Let's kill an animal. Put the fur, the hair on you because you're a smooth man. Isn't it interesting the difference in children? You know, we have identical twins, and the most stupid question asked to our kids are you just alike? I mean, do you like all the same things? No, we're brothers, we're different. So they figure identical twins do everything the same or something, I don't know. Yes, we're going to marry the same girl. And that way I can be with her and hunting at the same time. But crazy. So the boys are different. Esau is a hairy outdoorsman. He's the great white hunter, jumps out of the tree with the knife and kills the bear, hairy and deep voice. Jacob has a high-pitched voice and loves to cook homemade cookies. He's the kitchen boy. He's the indoor boy. He loves to vacuum, loves the dust. He's not effeminate. Later on, God changes him, but I mean, they're just opposite night and day. Smooth skin. He's 40 and has not yet started shaving yet. His brother started shaving in grade school. You know, they're just different, and I think you know that. So verse 19, and Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. God got blamed, brought into that lie. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. It would do us very well in the Christian life to not go by the feeling, but go by the voice. The word, not the feeling. And of course, he ends up blessing the wrong boy. His brother wants to kill him. That's a good sign of brotherly affection. I'm going to kill you. If you don't say that at least one time to one of your siblings, you're not normal. I'm going to kill you. Let's fess up. Whoever wanted to kill one of your brothers or sisters, all right. How many of you, you did something, they wanted to kill you? All right. How many of you, they didn't kill you? They didn't kill you. Okay, good, good. That's the only people we won't hear today. Let's pray and we'll just jump right in. Lord, thank you for the time we've had together. And Lord, the sweet things I've seen. The singing, the youthfulness, the innocence, the joy. Thank you for encouraging me with my time here. Thank you for reacquaintances, seeing people we don't see much. I told Brother Angel today, seems like sometimes we spend our whole life helping knuckleheads we cannot stand, and we spend very little time with the people we really like to be with. Help us be balanced. Bless these young people as they head home. Help them to store some wonderful memories of God's will in these sweet times. Help each one serve you the rest of their life, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Four statements, and we'll get right into the message. Here we go. Number one, God's Word is our authority. This is it right here. And that's what we oftentimes say. God's Word is the final authority for faith and practice. And we believe it. The word B on our signs for Baptist stands for Bible is the authority. Number two, sometimes our feelings go against the Bible. For instance, so you might like that verse that says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. You know, I like my hair longer, all right? Sometimes our feelings may go against the Bible. Well, I like rock music. Well, man, I like it too. But our feelings go against the Bible. I was at a youth camp one time, and they had a little question and answer. I just preached the whole message against worldly music. Someone said, Pastor Ray, what is your favorite music? I said, hard rock. And then they asked another question. They said, I thought you just told us it was wicked. I said, it is. But that's my favorite music. I love it. I didn't say I listened to it. But my flesh loves it. I mean, I can hear a hymn and I'm drumming. My heart got saved, my foot didn't. The other night, someone was doing something, and I was tapping, and I had my foot going, and just... I love it. My flesh does. I just don't listen to it. So sometimes our feelings go contrary to the Word of God. Number three, follow the Bible. Statement number four, the feeling will come later. We have here Isaac. He goes by his feelings instead of the Word of God, and it gets him in trouble. Proverbs 16:3, you need not turn there. The Bible says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. God wants us to love Him in several ways. He says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, spirit, your strength. How do you love the Lord with all of your heart? You love Him with your feelings too. I'm glad that God gives us feelings. I'm glad we're not robots. I like to have some emotion. I like it when I'm at the ball game and they say, and now, Sister So-and-so is going to sing the Star Spangled Banner. Half the time you can't recognize it. Woo! And then they make it rocky and, man, what is he singing? I have no idea. And, you know, they're yodeling and everything else. But I like it when you understand the Star Spangled Banner. I still get goosebumps all over me. I still stand and I stare down everyone who's not, hey, you're in America, man, get up. I don't care if you're Jehovah's Witness. I don't care if you're Iraqi, Iran. Hey, it's our turf now. But I like that. I like the feelings that I have when I go to a wedding, and I was very emotional when I gave my daughters away. Man, I thought I'd be strong, and I'm walking my daughter Charity down the aisle to get married, and I'm just choked up, and I've got tears, and I'm thinking, where'd the little childhood go? What about all those days swinging you, and the little date nights, and curling your hair, and that first Valentine, and where'd they all go just like that? And then I remember walking my daughter Faith in. Charity married a young man. He's about 5'4", and she's 4'10", 95 pounds. Faith is about 4'10", and married a boy 6'3". And so I'm walking Faith in. We're halfway in the auditorium. I said, your dress is now all the way in the building. As we walked, but I was emotional. And then as we pronounced him husband and wife, I was emotional. Very emotional. Now this morning, as the girls were singing, boy, I love the cross too. Something in my heart was beating fast. Sometimes it's tears. I love emotion, and I'm glad God gives it to us. Some of you girls have more emotion than guys. That's how God made you. You turn on, and Lassie just got eaten by Jaws. And then the guys are saying, yeah, yeah, more blood. Chew a little bit more. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're all emotional, and God gives us that. And it's not wrong to be emotional. Even in the boy meet girl thing, guys ought to have their heart beating kind of fast when a sweet looking girl comes by. Someone says, Pastor, you're not supposed to look. It's okay to look at God's creation. Like what Jason Gomez said to his daddy one time. He said, boy, that girl sure is good looking. Dad, you see her? He says, hey, son. God made her. She has nothing to do with it. He said, okay, well, Dad, God sure did a good job on her. I tell you what, he was in a good mood that day. It's okay to have emotion. Now, the Bible speaks very little about how Bible characters felt, however. God does put that in us, but He speaks very little about it. For instance, Job's children died. He has health problems. His wife gets bitter. It never said how he felt. You never hear much about how Paul felt. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. But it never said, I don't feel good. It never said that. When Christ was crucified, it never says much. It says what He went through, but it never said how He inwardly felt. And God says we are to love Him with all of our feelings. A little childhood illustration. We'll illustrate it and then give you some points to the message here. I remember when I was a little boy. Excuse me, let me reword that. When I was a boy, in Louisiana, we would sometimes have trains. And I know you have your fill of trains here. We have one train in Napa. It's called the Wine Train. And for $75, you can get on the train, and they give you a meal, and you stop at 19 wineries. So you can get out, test the wine. Your pastor loved it when he was at our church. He just loved it. And so they kind of charge you for that. But I remember as a boy, we would hear that ding, 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 ding. And the lights and the little arms would come down and we'd stop. It's a train. Now, as an adult now, it's like, oh, it's a train. As a little boy, it's a train. And we were excited. Let's count how many cars. 1, 253, 254, and 200. And soon it would be, oh, look, there comes the little red, help me, caboose. They always had one. It was always coming. You just didn't know when, but it was coming. Now, a little illustration here. Let me see. Do we have any guys that are seniors? Seniors. Where's my seniors? Can I just get, let me see. Let me get you, you, and you on the same. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You three, just up here for just a second. Just for a second. Just for a second. Good man, good man. Boy, aren't they good looking guys? Where's those four singers? Where's those four singers? Well, one could be Mormon. He could have two wives. You know, we could do that. Hey, come on up here just for a second. All right, we're going to just demonstrate something here. And let's put you in the middle. No, let's put the guy with that dark suit in the middle, okay? Okay, I want you each to face this way. Just face this way, okay? All right, here it is. So here is the train, the choo-choo train. Now, if you're little, it's choo-choo train. If you're an adult, it's the train, all right? And he's going to hold the Bible here out in front. Now, the Christian life is to be based on the Bible. That's fact. Is there a heaven? Well, I don't feel like there is. Well, the Bible says there is. Yes, there's a heaven. Fact. Build your life on the Word of God. If you understand it, if you don't understand it, you just follow the fact. Go to church, read the Bible, pray, be pure, honor your parents. That's fact. Now, the next car comes. We're not going to do it like California. We're not going to put the hands on the waist. Is that okay with you? Hands on the shoulder here. So here's the next car. Hang on here. Here is faith. There's going to be some things in the Bible you don't understand and you haven't figured out, so you accept them by faith. Well, I don't know why God says we have to give 10% of our income. Well, like it or not, you just accept it by faith. Faith is doing what God says because He said He'll bless you if you see how it's going to turn out or not. Then the last car here is feeling. And that train can run. You've got, help me class, you've got a fact, you've got faith, and then you've got feeling. You've got what? Feeling. You've got faith, you've got fact. Now, this train's got power to run. Why? It's built on the Word of God. He can pull those cars, and He can get that thing going, because His life is built on the Word of God. Now, this is how our Christian life is to run. By the way, this is the type of friendships you ought to have. You want to have good friends? You need to have friends who their life is based on the Word of God. They're not just living by feeling. This is it. This is the person you marry. That's the kind of church you go to. That's why we are not charismatic. How many times I've heard Pentecostals and charismatics say, "Hey, I don't care what the Bible says. I know how I felt." It's not how we do. The feelings come later. Now, here's what backsliding is. Okay, let's reverse it. You put your hands on him. You put your hands on him. That's what backsliding is right there. Sure. Living by feelings. Sure. Did you come to church, son? You know, I didn't feel like it. I heard you got drunk. Yeah, because I felt like it. Hey, I heard you cuss that person out. Yeah, I just felt like it.
That's right.
You start living by feelings, and watch this.
Sure.
You can't go uphill. No power. All you can do is just coast downhill. You wonder what revival is? Here's what happens at camp. Okay, let's reverse it again. That's what happens at camp. That's what happens at teen conferences. Yeah, hands back on the shoulder. Okay, there you go. You got to train these trains. All right. Oh, brother. But this is revival. Someone says, man, God, turn. How many times do we say, He turned my life around? And that's it. We're back in that Bible. The Bible rules and the feelings come later. The feelings come later. God promises the feelings always come later. You hang on long enough, you'll feel like it. Thank you, man. Give them a big hand. They did great. They did great. Appreciate it. Good guys. So in what areas, just quickly here, in what areas does the train come later? Number one, in salvation. In salvation. I led a man to Christ one time, and I was home on Christmas break, and he visited the teen group. I got his address, went by. His name was Mike Reeves. And Mike Reeves was at his house, went by, and I said, Mike, can I show you how to get saved? He said, yep, stone-faced, no smile, no nothing. Very melancholy look, very stoic, no expression. And I said, you believe you're a sinner? Yep. If you died right now, where would you go? Hell. Would you like to be saved? Yes. So would you like to do it right now? He said, yes. I almost didn't pray with him. I said, I don't think. Then he's just going through the motions. So put your hand here, we'll pray. Dear Lord, please come into my heart. Come in my heart. Save me. Save me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Mike, did you mean that just now? Yes. Are you glad about it? Yes. Said, will you come to church and make it public? Yes, I will. Sure. See you later. And that was it. Some people don't have much emotion. How many of you cried when you got saved? Okay. How many of you, it was just, whew. How many of you don't remember how you felt, but you believe you still got saved? Have you ever witnessed to someone and you said, boy, they really meant it. Man, I like the people who cry. I was up in Chicago years ago on my bus route. And I remember going up to the third floor, knocked on the door, and walked in. And I said, we're from the church. If you died today. And the guy leaped on the floor. He leaped out of his chair, landed on the floor, began beating the floor. Oh, God, save me. Oh, I'm going to hell. Oh, God. I said, I didn't even finish the verses yet. Oh, please save. Oh, God, save. He's screaming, hollering, weeping, wailing. I'm saying, look, the next Billy Sunday, man, I just led him to the wow. Now, I like those, Brother Graham. I mean, I love it, man, when they're torn up and emotional. I'll get back to that. The caboose comes later. It comes later in your Bible reading. Guarantee you, this morning you got up, you didn't say, whoa, whoo, word of God, hallelujah, glory to God. Oh, whoo, Psalms. It's not how I read my Bible. Do this like this. Maher, Shalahash, Baz, Met Melchizedek. And the ark was 450 feet wide. Huzz begat Buzz. Jehoshaphat went on the Atkins diet. Sometimes it's not real exciting. Look in your Bible sometimes to see the pastors who've signed your Bible. See if any of them has a life's verse in Chronicles. Or one of the genealogies. Boy, that's my favorite genealogy. Ooh, man, I love that. So sometimes I don't feel like reading the Bible. I know. But you start reading it. And you start reading it. And pretty soon, after a while, you're going to come across, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Whew. He has the hairs of your head numbered. The sighing of the prisoner comes to him. Our tears are in a bottle. God loves me. Wow! And pretty soon that spiritual heart's beating in your ear. Woo-woo! Woo-woo!
That's right.
Hey, it's the same thing with prayer. Some of you young people, you think, man, I wish I was like Brother Angel. I wish I was like Brother Ballard. I wish I was like Brother Gomez. For the angels just wake them up in the morning. You actually think that we're sound asleep in bed and the angels come down. And they made a TV show out of this. And we're touched by an angel. Wake up. Wake up. And we go, oh. And they're tickling us. And they just kind of carry us up. Set us on our knees. And it's, oh, Father, thank you for the great night. Not the way I wake up. Some of you think it's good morning, Lord. Me, it's good Lord, it's morning. You believe in the resurrection from the dead? Yes, I get up every morning. It's like that woman went to the psychiatrist and she says, the psychiatrist said, you wake up grumpy in the morning? She said, no, I usually let him sleep till about 10. Caboose comes later in our salvation, in our Bible, in our prayer, in our soul winning. Pastor, do you feel like going soul winning two or three times a week? Nope. Got a lot to do. It's never convenient. That's why the Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. The go comes before the weep. Someone says, Pastor, I don't have a burden for souls. Join the crowd. Guess when I get a burden? When I get out there and I knock on the door and someone says, I can't believe you came. I just buried my husband. My wife just filed for divorce. We sure need God. Come in. Woo! A man 2 weeks ago gave me an address. He said, my mother's dying. He said, she doesn't live far from here, Pastor. Do you think you could see her? I said, well, man, I'm going out of town Monday. I said, I'll come by Sunday afternoon. I stopped by the house. It's him, his mother, his wife. And by the way, he brought his wife to church that morning. She got saved. She got baptized. So here's him and his wife. Then here's his elderly mother. She's got oxygen tubes up her nose. She's got this little microphone. She said, that's so I can hear better. I don't hear well. And so I remember asking her, I said, Ida, she said, you have to speak up a little louder. I can't hear you. I said, Ida, she says, okay, I can hear you now. Ida, there's four things you have to know to get saved. And we're about this far apart. I mean, I'm yelling at her. What are they? For all have sinned and come short. And man, I'm going through the verses. And I went through the whole thing. I said, so if you died, where would you go? She said, I'd go to hell. Would you like to be saved right now? Yes, I would. And I saw her daughter over here, who I just met. I said, would you like to get... She said, don't yell at me. Would you like to get saved? Yes, I heard the whole thing. The mother got saved. The daughter got saved. It was something. I went by the next Saturday. I said, now, y'all still coming Sunday, right? They said, yes. And if something happened, Pastor, ever since you came by Sunday afternoon, my health took a turn for the better. No more oxygen. I'm feeling good. We got four visitors coming to church with us Sunday. Easter Sunday, I looked in the back. We were packed out. She wheels that chair, comes down, makes public her salvation. Her sister comes down the aisle. She decides to get baptized. Two of their adult visitors come forward. They get saved and they get baptized. So that Sunday afternoon, it was like, I've got to make a visit. I need to pack. I've got stuff to do. No feeling. But Sunday morning, it was plenty of feeling going on. The feeling comes later. It comes later in your dating life and marriage life. John Rice, old evangelist, sitting in a car one day. His wife said, John, why do you love me? He said, because the Bible tells me to. Guys, that's not very romantic. Just want you to know that. Because the Bible says to. She said, that doesn't turn me on. He said, that doesn't turn me off. It's going to happen one day. I remember. I can't get into that. Number next. We'll touch on it. I'm in Bible college. I asked this girl to sit with me. Her name was Verna Weymouth from Maine. Sat with her in college chapel. God began knitting our hearts together. We were friends. By the way, that's who you want to fall in love with. Friends first. Friendship is the mortar that holds all relationships together. That's why quick romances. Oh, we met at camp. We got engaged the last day of camp. We're getting married a month late. You know, sometimes they don't last long. Ask Britney Spears. Okay. Ask Michael Jackson. Ask Elvis. He rolled over in his grave when Michael married his daughter. But I remember telling this girl that I loved her. We were walking around the lake at the campus. I said, Verna, I love you. No, I did this for her. She said, that's nice. What? I said, I love you. She said, that's nice. Stubborn. Demons in her, I think. She wasn't going to say it till she was sure. I remember that week praying, oh, God, help her love me. Oh, Lord, turn her heart around. Help her have some wisdom. Walked her to the bus. It was bringing all the girls back to the dorms. It's on a Sunday night. I'm getting ready to head out of college, and I'm hired as a youth pastor, and I said, I love you. That night she said, I love you too. the fireworks of heaven went off. Took my jacket off. My cape came unfolded. I began flying back to the dormitory. How'd you feel first time y'all started dating? Didn't feel anything. I did that night. The feeling comes later. Young people, I know sometimes it is difficult and it takes work to be pure around someone you're really attracted to, but it will be worth it when you walk down that aisle in white and you say, I've saved myself for this person. You're not the 10th one I'm with. You're not the 20th one I'm with. I've saved my kisses for you. I've saved my embraces for you. And you'll say, hey, it was worth it. The caboose comes later. Not only that, it comes later in. Faithfulness. I was telling you, Pastor, I think I'm more emotional now than I've ever been as a pastor. Because now I've been in the ministry longer than I will be in the future, and I get to look back a little and say, it's been worth it all when we see Jesus. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let me finish my story and I'm done. Well, let me just say this too. The caboose comes later when you finish college. It's something about graduation night. Dun, 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 dun. I always hated college, and we're out of here. And the little tassel, 4 years to learn to move that tassel, and then that diploma, it's just something about it. I remember sitting on the balcony as a freshman, as a college freshman. I'll never forget it. Because we were required to be there, and I remember seeing the people walk across the platform, moving those tassels. I remember seeing the men that were heading out to ministry kneel, and the staff laid their hands on them and ordained them to the gospel ministry. And I said, I'm going to do that one day. I'm finishing. If it takes me 5 years, I'm finishing college. I'm going to graduate. That's what I'm going to do. I'll never forget that night. The caboose came later. It came. One day there's going to be a trumpet sound. It won't be a train. Maybe it'll be woo 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 woo, and we're going to be out of here. 20 years passed after I'd led Mike Reeves to Christ. I'm sitting in an auditorium speaking. I find out he came and got baptized. I find out he went off to Bible college. The guy with, you know, the no emotions that got saved. He got baptized. He went off to Bible college. He came back to work on staff, married a sweet girl. I stand up preaching one day and I say, and the Bible says, and way in the back, I see Mike Reeves. Glory to God! Hallelujah! He's now shouting 20 years later. The caboose finally came. Young people, if you'll live your life and do right when you feel like it, do right when you don't, go to church when you feel like it, go to church when God will bless you. The caboose always comes later. It's coming. Heavenly Father, would you bless now this brief time we've had? Thank you for the young people, their pastors, their leaders. Pray that this week will be a wonderful week for them. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed just very briefly. Who's here today? Say, Pastor, it's been a while since I've seen the caboose. I'm trying my best to do right. Trying to do right. Yes, the motions are there sometimes. Sometimes they're not. But I just need to be patient till I see that caboose in some area of my life. It's been a while since I've seen it. I'm going to keep doing right, but I sure would like to see it pretty soon. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Just all over the building. God bless you. You may lower your hands. One of who's here today, you'd say, Pastor, I think the train has flipped around. I'm living by feelings. I say things because I feel like it. I make decisions because I feel like it. And it's not been the Word of God that's been ruling my life. It's my feelings. That's why people have affairs and run off. That's why people commit suicide. That's why people do drugs. That's why they make a lot of terrible decisions. You say, pray for me that God will help me turn that train around. with his help. Pray for me. Would you slip that hand up? Anyone like that? God bless you. Father, bless now these young people. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Thanks, Pastor.
Their eyes are closed. I don't know if I've heard any better explanation of just how to live the Christian life. And several of you were honest. That second question said, I got things turned around. Well, you know what? We get things turned around too. I still get things turned around, age 51. And so you have to get God to turn you around again. Headed the right direction. Kind of fits in with what he preached last night. The person that doesn't succeed is the one who just gets turned around one last time. Just one last time. So this is the last invitation. Last opportunity. Some of you have resisted any work of the Holy Spirit in your life, but some of you, that still small voice came by this morning. We're in good time. So I'm going to pray. We're going to stand. It'll be your opportunity. Dear Father, thank you for the simple and plain and clear truth. Maybe somebody could be turned around this morning following fact. Feelings catching up. Bless the young people. In Jesus' name. Let's stand quietly, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, your place. This is it. Raise your hand. Amen.